TV.
You know, it is really hard for me to believe as I'm sitting here right now on Wednesday night that I'm going to actually be on a plane on Friday and going to be speaking at a conference. I'm so tired. I'm so stressed. I had a MRI this morning. I don't know the results yet. But just being in that giant machine for 30 minutes and just praying the whole time, thanking God really the whole time for being with me, for knitting my body in my mother's womb, for knowing all my days before there was one. I just thank God for my wife, for my sister, for my sons. Thank God for my body. I thank God that he was in charge of everything. And he knew all about me from my very beginning. And he knows my end, too. And it's just not a great experience. You know, and I don't know, my results will probably be okay. I don't know yet. It's probably a cyst. For sure it's an infection. Because after that, I went to Sasha, the guru, is in Hollywood, Florida here. So I went to see him. Great respect for him. And he was alarmed at a blood number he saw. He said, "This, you have an infection, yes, and it's pretty serious." And they gave me a shot in my rump yesterday. The nurse did, and the doctor gave me another antibiotic. And tomorrow, I get to go see the head and neck surgeon, so that's going to be fun. It's just all, like I said yesterday, a walking nightmare. I'm just tired. But God always gives me, I'm going to be bandaged up. Obviously, I can't have any procedure done from now till then. I asked Sasha, is surgery a bad thing? He says, if there's a cyst in there and they can get it, and he said, no, just go ahead and do it. Because, you know, he is a genius when it comes to working with the body and the environs and health. He told us a story. Maria and me, we were sitting with him at his apartment downstairs at the common area where his family is staying. And he told of meeting this world famous surgeon. I don't know what discipline the surgeon was in, but Sasha expected this guy to be like really, really smart. And long story short, it turned out that this guy knew nothing about health. He just knew how to cut stuff out of the body. That's all he knew. And that's all any of them know. Asking a doctor or a world-renowned surgeon about health or about cellular health or the environs, he says they know how to take things out, but the environment of health, the environment around the main problem, they know nothing about. He's absolutely right. It's like going into any church, or make it even more radical, going into a Catholic church and asking the priest about God's aeonian purpose. It's that you're not going to get an answer there. And I have confidence that health resides in individuals such as Sasha who have body wisdom, health wisdom, cell wisdom. Just like those of us in the body of Christ who have aeonian wisdom, salvation of all wisdom. I mean, the analogies go on and on and on. You will not find truth in mainstream medicine. You will not find it in mainstream education. You will not find it in mainstream religion. You will find God-inspired individuals who know a vast field of knowledge concerning the most important things. The things to do with life in the body and alien life for the spirit. And anybody can learn anything nowadays on their own without going to college. You don't need to go to college. You go to college to get brainwashed. Sorry, anybody's in college. I recommend you get out of college. And, well, anyway, I don't know your situation, so don't let me tell somebody else their situation, okay? So if you need something cut out, which I might need, then a surgeon's what you need. If you need health, you run the hell away from a hospital. If you need a problem understood, you run the hell away from the surgeon. So I'm just Charlie Brown, Eeyore, whatever you like today. But God's going to make me better. Tomorrow's going to be another day. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to go to bed early and wake up tomorrow and feel better about everything. No, not really, because I have to go to this appointment, which I'm really stressed about. If there's something, never mind. I have no plan today for a show. Absolutely nothing. I sent a message to somebody today, and I thought this is a pretty good message. I sent it on WhatsApp, and I was running, and I really let loose about this feel-good ministries in the world. But I'm going to save that for the conference, okay? Don't worry, I'm going to be full. I'm going to be ready to roll at the conference. I think I'm going to put a couple of Band-Aids here. You can't. It's all hidden. You can't see how terrible it looks. You can't see it. But anyway, that's enough about me. So, the only thing I want to say to you today is I probably have a decent situation where I just need a cyst taken out of my neck. I mean, if it's worse, I'll tell you, you know. If it's something worse, I'll tell you. But I feel for the thousands and thousands of people in this world who get terrible news every day. I looked it up once. I think I have 4,000 people a day are diagnosed with cancer. And that word will change your life. Just that specter, that fear. It's like eternal torment to the ecclesiastical world. Eternal torment is to the ecclesiastical world what cancer is to the medical world. They talk about it so glibly. They make a living off it. Do you think for a second they want a cure for it? Oh, hell no. Do you think for a second the Catholic Church wants to get rid of eternal torment or wants to find out that it's not true? Not just the Catholic Church, any denomination of Christianity. No, they need it. They want it. It's their bread and butter. And I feel for people. This world is so miserable. And I am sorry to say this, but whenever I hear an ambulance, whenever I see an ambulance, I'm running, I hear an ambulance, I see a fire truck, I think of somebody in peril, somebody in a car wreck, somebody bleeding. All I think of is, hey, Clyde, another 500 years of that, yippee-yay. I get so pissed off at my friend, my ex-friend. I get so pissed off that he wants this to go on for another 500 years, and he searches desperately for scriptures to make it go on for another 500 years. Everybody in this godforsaken planet should be dressed in black, like Johnny Cash, because we should be in mourning every day. When the exiles went to Babylon, they were supposed to live their lives, but they couldn't sing, they couldn't glory. They could glory privately with God, but they were in exile. They were captured. And anybody who loves this eon and wants it and twist scriptures so that they can live their happy life for as long as possible while the rest of the world suffers. I cannot contain my anger. I am righteously indignant, and I am going to rip to shreds Clyde's ministry this weekend. It has become something it never was. It has become a feel-good ministry. It has become an ear-tickling ministry. It has become a ministry for those who love the Eon. And I am not going to hold back at the conference. I'm not going to talk about that the whole time. Do I still love this man? Yes, I do. Love is unconditional. But his ministry has turned into a feel-good ministry, an ear-tickling ministry for people who love the Eon. And if you love the Eon, you have a mental illness or some kind of sickness, some kind of illness, some kind of mental illness. If you love this Eon and you have the Spirit of God in you, it's incongruent. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand when you have a verse like 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17, just out there on the page, just begging you to believe it, and you working hard to relegate it to an ancient time. Jeez, all the scriptures are ancient. Every letter Paul wrote is 2,000 years old. Why those letters? Because they have to get rid of two things. They have to get rid of 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians. Because in 1 Corinthians, Paul says the era is limited. Oh no, they don't like that. Clyde has an article called The Era is Limitless, and they must get rid of the snatching away. They must. And you would have a hard time trying to figure out how is that tickling the ears? Because they want to live a long life on this earth with their families. That's why. They don't want families broken up. They don't want to be snatched away while other loved ones remain on the earth. They hate that teaching. They hate that doctrine. And so they desperately reach for invented doctrines like Acts 28 and the premillennial kingdom. Acts 28, Charles Welch and the premillennial kingdom, Otis Sellers. They reach for invented teaching that they must. The people who love the Eon, the people who want to die by natural causes, the people who want this Eon to go on and on and on, who are so focused on their own world that they have not one fucking ounce of empathy for the rest of the world. Not one fucking ounce of it. And if they do, where is it? They're happy. They're joyful. Oh, now the big theme is joy. The big theme is joy. And now the lie is that Jesus Christ was a happy guy. He wasn't a man of sorrows until the last week of his life. Before that, he wore Hawaiian shirts and drank pina coladas. Oh, he was a happy guy. What utter bullshit. This world is broken. It is dark. It is demonic. It is under the influence of Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And you're wearing fucking Hawaiian shirts. Satan's the prince of the power of the air. You're breathing this air. You love this air. You love the air. Satan's the prince of the power of the air. You love it. You really love it. You know what I love? Christ's appearing. These people don't want to see Christ anytime soon. No time soon do they want to see him. No time soon. No. Someday down the road, they want to see Christ. You think they want to see him today or tomorrow? No, anything but that. Don't interrupt their lives. It's a sickness. Paul said this would happen. Expose, rebuke, and entreat, he told Timothy, for the era will be when they will not tolerate sound teaching. And boy, oh boy, this ministry of Clyde Pilkington's does not tolerate sound teaching. But their hearing being tickled, they will heap up teachers in accord with their own desires, and they will be turned aside to myths. Myth after myth after myth after myth. Sect after sect after sect after sect. One after the other. Astounding, stunning. Never thought I would see the day. And yet here it is. The feel-good ministry. And you know what his new theme song is? Go ahead. Go to one of Clyde's recent videos. There's a new theme song on there. I forget the group. It's Tell Me Something Good. Was that Rufus or something? Tell Me Something Good. Tell Me Something Good. That's the theme song. You know what the theme song of this ministry is? Tell Me Something True. That's the theme song of this ministry. Tell Me Something True. Tell Me Something Good sounds like a guy with his hands behind his head on his easy chair when his ears tickled. Tell me something good. Tell me something good. Clyde's your guy. He won't tell you anything bad. He won't tell you anything depressing. He won't expose or rebuke. No. And in fact, he will call people who do it troublemakers, agitators, people who divide the body of Christ. I'm one who divides the body of Christ because I expose, rebuke, and entreat. I see false teaching and I expose it and I rebuke the teachers. Not a lot of fun, but I'm following in the footsteps of Paul and I love Christ appearing. And I want to see him today. I want to see him before the day is over because I love his appearing. Not everybody does, and that is a freaking shock to me. I am shocked. Every time I think I've got to the end of the shocks, a new shock comes. I mean, when I started, I found out I'm going to a conference in Florida in 1994, Melbourne, Florida, where people believe in human free will. What? Clay Kent believes in human free will. Dan Sheridan then gives up the sovereignty of God, starts believing in open theism. Ted McDivitt, my fellow worker at the radio station, takes up with open theism. Clyde Pilkington says only two of Paul's letters are for us. Dan Sheridan doesn't believe Paul even has a special ministry anymore. Aaron Welch doesn't even believe Jesus Christ pre-existed. The pirate doesn't even believe Jesus Christ existed before Bethlehem. Unbelievable. Shock after shock after shock. And now to find out they're changing the definition of grace. Now you are worthy. Then I found out that some people believe that the flood of Noah was local. How the hell do you get this? Where the hell do you get it? Out of your ass. Out of your desire to live a long and happy life in your little myopic world of Hawaiian punch, whatever the hell you have. It's awful. It's an epidemic. I never thought I'd see the day. I never thought I'd be this outspoken about it, but it's just slapping me in the face every day. And every time I hear a siren, I say, hey, Clyde, there it is, another siren, 500 more years of that, 500 more years of somebody having his head cut off in a car accident, or a screaming daughter, a screaming mother, a raped girl, a stolen baby, a tortured daughter. Oh, just more of it. Oh, God, 500 more years of it. This is the age of grace. Hey, hey. No, it's the age of shit that contains a message of grace. It's a current wicked eon. Get a clue. Galatians 1:4. Get a clue, Clyde. It's a current wicked eon. Wake up before it's too late.